Hey, everybody. Welcome to Fold Talk, the official podcast of the online Christian community, The Fold.
Where we are following the shepherd, finding the herd. Join us while we talk about life as a Christ follower in this day and age.
Let's do life together, where we encourage, inspire, and lead each other to be led by Jesus. Let's go.
Guys, what's up? Kuya is back in the house. Hey, it's been so long, man. It's been so long. I know, beloved. It has been. And, well, Kuya, the Fold, after Delane, everybody. Oof. Let's just say God is good first and foremost, right? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good, and regardless of all the trials and tribulations, which we do have to go through, you know, that's a normal thing as a Christian. Look, see, y'all already going off, man. As we accept, you know, we put our faith in Jesus and we are being renewed every day, Holy Spirit in us. Thank you, Jesus. Trials and tribulations is a necessity in a Christian's life. Charles Spurgeon says, dying to oneself as a Christian, that's a daily business thing for Christians, you know? Also, too, faith not tested is faith not trusted. Oh, shout out to my brother Angel. We talk about stuff like that. Like, hey, bro, if you could say you have faith, but if you haven't been tested in any way possible, bro, I don't trust that. you just talking. That's the straight up truth. Hey, man, love you guys. It's good to be back, man. You guys want to do a quick catch up real quick? All right, let's just see. Okay, so I left, I think the last episode was like April, May-ish, right? And then I went to Anchorage with my son to visit my dad. And my dad got COVID. Yeah, Papa Ed got COVID. And, you know, he's high risk. He had like pneumonia and stuff like that. And it was crazy because the whole time I had to extend my trip, we had to see him at the hospital, like, for, like, a month. I've never done that, to my grandpa long ago. I was, like, five, but it was crazy, man. So every time we saw him, was in the hospital, me and Nate and all my other siblings. It was tough, man. And then also, after that, hey, guys, like, God's blessings. I went to the doctor to check my knees out because remember, Kuya couldn't like walk and stuff. Well, I had trouble walking, bro. They took out like these vials of just knee fluid. It was pretty crazy. It was gnarly, man. I was all staring at it. Doctor was like, you don't want to be the interesting dude in the hospital. And I was like, I want to look at this. All right, I want to check it out. And after that, like, I got my MRI, like, nothing was torn, nothing was ripped, everything was fine, nothing was broken. I was able to walk, y'all. It was, like, the weirdest thing, because my knees weren't used to it. So I started, like, I took it to, like, man, I can now walk again and play basketball and chase my little niece around, play with Nate. So when I got back home in Barrow, in Keokavik, bruh, I was like, it's time to be intentional, get back into working out, eating clean, healthy habits, you know, making sure I'm on top of Nate and schoolwork and everything, his basketball. And oh my gosh, shout out to Nathaniel, my son, who's just, ever since the basketball tournament, he came back in July, almost every single day, was going to the gym to practice basketball. And, you know, it starts from the top, especially in a family. If the dad and mommy doing it and kids are like, okay, what kind of message is this? So I started helping him out. You know, I used to play basketball back in the day, but then I quit around high school because I was like, oh, I'm not being forced. Eh. But now, bro, it's, I just want to say, Kuya's a baller now. I've been studying basketball, I've been playing basketball with Nate. Because the thing is, like, Nate loves it. I don't have to force him. He gets up and he plays. And I'm like, man, I want to start, you know, doing stuff like that too. And then You know, Kuya's a nerd, y'all. I've been doing my research, watching all the videos, taking notes, studying, getting tools and equipment, helping out with coaching. So it's pretty fun, man. And all the guys are like, all the men's leagues, like, hey, when are you going to come? And I'm like, hey, not yet. Still, you know, working it out. Also, too, guys, Kuya's been hitting that gym, like, I don't want to say religiously, but, like, it's pretty good, man. Glory to God, because I could not do a lunge. Like, it was hard to lunge, right? And my body was achy. But I knew that if I started softly, and shout out to New Rules of Lifting, Coach Cosgrove, Alan Cosgrove. I believe he's Scottish. He's so cool, man, because back in 07, I was reading this book, and then I put it away. And then now I brought it back to 2023. And, dude, I've been, go check out the Strength and Song channel in Discord. Oh, by the way, I'm sick. and I post about his stuff, and I've been on it for about going to 5 months. And guys, oh my goodness, along with the internet cut shortage through the summer for us, like for 3 months, it was tough. We had no internet. Really slow internet, dial up internet. Oh my gosh, y'all. Dude, I'm just saying that limited screen time and limited social media time, and it made Nathaniel and I, and almost everyone in town, focus on mental health, on physical health, shoot, even financial health. And I'm letting you guys know all the levels, all those, everything, boom, loving God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh my goodness. I'm letting you guys know right now, go do a challenge. Get off, limit your social media time, and then make a plan out for all your other stuff, like spending time with friends and family. Of course, your regular reading the Bible, prayer time, all that stuff. I'm telling you, man, all that depression, anxiety, all struggles, all that stuff disappears, or it just gets smaller, man. Like, I got just really focused. And that was, you know, that was the word that God gave Kuya to focus on for 2023, was focus. And it was real cool, man. And also, you know, Nate starting middle school. Oh, my gosh, that kid. He is such a baller, a basketballer. And he's starting five. We're going to our first trip about next month. We're going to Anchorage. He's going to be in this tournament. God is so good, dude. Like, shout out to my little Nady boy. And remember, guys, those who have kids and those who are planning to have kids in the future, if God blesses y'all with it, kids are just a reflection of their parents, man. I'm just letting you know, man. It's so funny because Nate walks around like super confident, as you guys already know. But I was like his parent teacher conferences, everything I hear from every teacher, Nate's on task, Nate's confident, he's a leader, and I'm just like, man, that's, let's go, boy. You know, just like, yes. excuse me. But yeah, man. And I seen that too, guys. I'll let you guys know too, from the flip side of that. I won't say any names, but I've seen other families. I talk to a lot of men as well. And when they come to me and complain about their kids, I always point it back to them. Because it's easy to blame the kid, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, they're kids. They are children. They got to be led. We're sheep, bro. Sheeps are kind of dumb. You know, if one walks in a circle, the other one sees the other one go in a circle, they all start going in circles. It's like, yo, bro, we need to eat, though. But they'll keep going in circles. And I used to tell the men, oh, I still do, just, hey, they are going to reflect what you do at home. So if you're at home telling them to do stuff and you're sitting on the couch, no plan in mind, no vision, no leading of reading the word or prayer, doing homework or anything on task, bro, they're gonna do the same thing. And I want to give you guys I had a really, really good talk with a homie in town, and he used to be an ex meth head, and he was raw about it. And I'm real close to him, he's cool, and he was telling me, like, the way he knew that it was affecting his family was when he used to come home, his kids would be playing in the living room, and they were like, yay! And then he came home, they all stopped. It was quiet. They picked up all their stuff, went to the room, shut the door. And my homie was telling me it was just quiet. It was just him in the room. Oh, my goodness. That right there. Oh, man, we're talking, and he's clean. He's been clean for, like, 7 years, I think. So, yo, God gets the glory for that one. but, yeah, guys, see, it's really important that as Christians, we got to set the tempo. You know, we got to, you know, set the bar. And remember, the bar has been set by Jesus already. He's just saying, hey, just live off the identity. And the identity is not you having to do some kind of special assignment work to be like me. No, you just be like me because I gave myself up for you. You know, we died. We've been baptized into Jesus' death. Romans 6, come on. And in the same likeness of newness of life, that same power where Jesus was resurrected, that's the same power we tap into. Jesus' death has become our death. His resurrection has become our resurrection. And that's one thing we got to get renewed in our minds as Christians, my brothers and sisters. Come on, somebody. All right, so I got a special guest here, guys. We're gonna go hit this with Sister Job. She'll be here in a bit, but I do want to go over a couple new things. We have a Bible verse of the day and a quote of the day, so let's get it. All right, so Bible verse of the day, here we go. We have Matthew 7, verse 13 through 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. That right there is Jesus, of course, dropping the mic as he does in the New Testament, in the Gospels. It's really easy to get stuck in that worldview. That's why I don't like social media too much. Like, you cannot just, it sucks, man. It's so dangerous. You can't stay on social media and just listen to the world and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so encouraged. No, bro, you're going to get depressed. The studies show that you will get depressed staying on social media, man. The comparison trap is real. But the hard part, you know, the narrow portion of it is getting up to go to your job, not just a job, but whatever God has called you to do. And remember, even if you are in the smallest minuscule job where you got to, like, I don't know, watch the front desk or even clean the bathroom, clean the toilet. I've done that myself. And my dad did that for like 20 some years and checked it out. And man, he paid a lot of bills, supported the family. But also stuff like that, God is watching to see if you're faithful with that in the small things. And then the big things, it's like, all right, cool. But so those little small tasks, those aren't nothing to God. Those are everything that you do as a Christian. There are, I don't say repercussions. I guess you could kind of say that. Consequences, of course, because God's giving this new life. And if you're using your freedom to live contradictory to his character, oh, my goodness, that's tough, you know. But that's the thing. This whole world does that. You know, you've seen celebrities. Oh, yeah, believe in God. You say, okay, great, you say that on the mic. How about you say that behind the closed doors? That right there, that's the heart check. It's easy to be fancy and stuff in front of cameras, y'all. But when you got to go grind, and as a Christian, you know, denying yourself as a Christian, taking the Christian route, what would Jesus do? I know a lot of people are like, okay, WWJD. No, that stuff is real, man. And I think I've told this story, man. There was times where I was like, I told my boss, like, dude, I am gonna punch you in the face. This was a long time ago. Oh my gosh, I was such a baby Christian. But then afterwards I started to, like, okay, I gotta put others' desires, you know, like, above mine. Of course, make sure I'm fine, because I had an anger problem. long time ago, and I had to study Ephesians 4. Very good verse. The book of James. Very good book. I had to read up on that. You know, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. We all must be, what, quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Oh, chill out, Anakin Skywalker. So, yeah, man. Yeah, the narrow portion, a lot of people don't find that. Putting in the grind of taking care of your family, getting up, doing your Bible study, prayer, worship. Like, those are, like, things, spiritual growth. Like, it may seem basic, but, bro, a lot of people miss the basic necessities in a Christian life. Or they get tired of it because it's not hype in the world. You know, it's not, Bible study, what is that? And see, that's the thing. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Like, I find it so intriguing, a Bible study. Reading about Paul and the history and how he traveled and, you know, he's getting beat all the time. Hey, look, I love The Chosen too, y'all. And, you know, when you watch The Chosen, all the disciples, they're all happy and stuff. But I don't think The Chosen is going to show what happens to all the disciples. I want to let y'all know right now, they all get killed, like bad. Like Matthew, you see how he gets speared. Like, I'm getting all graphic. Like, hey, man, that's the Christian life. You think it's easy? Nah, bro, it ain't easy, man. It's a struggle, you know? So if you're scared of getting persecuted, like, bro, you got to count the cost if you really love Jesus, if you really want this new life. That's the life right there, you know? And then you go, dang, Kuya, why would I want to be a Christian then if that's happening? Well, that's the thing, the freedom, you know? Yeah, growing up, I believe I talked about this a lot. I went through a lot of trauma, y'all. Kuya went through a lot of sexual abuse, a lot of, you know, my parents divorced when I was younger. A lot of drugs and alcohol was involved. So I was exposed to a lot of things. Front seat to a lot of things that, you know, it is what it is. But at the same time, that's how good God is. Because through therapy, through a lot of prayer, you know, shout out to all the, man, I love all my friends and family. My pastor that, you know, prayed over Kuya and talked to Kuya about these things. It took a long time, y'all. It took a long time. I'm talking about a long time, to where it's not like I just sit there and be like, heal me now, pastor. Come on, God. No. Like, you got to actually sit there and write stuff down and bring these to God. Like, Lord, I wanted to punch this guy in the face today. I was so angry. Or, Lord, I'm holding my pillow crying for the millionth time, 2 a.m. Why? And, you know, it was just like, oh, it's because I had to look in the past. I had a counselor, too. And she was saying that you wake up at that time because that was the time when, you know, it was common for your mom and your stepdad to be drinking and fighting or whatever the case was, right? So it takes intentionality, you know, a lot of intentionality. But then the freedom, because of what Jesus has done on the cross, we're able to be confident and bold and be like, oh my gosh. And that's when God's like developing. It's like, finally, all that stuff you unloaded. Thank you. Let's go. It's time to level you up. And so you can walk worthy of the calling that you've been called in, man. And to stay, you know, stay steadfast in that freedom. And not just for you, but for your family. Change your family tree. That's the thing that always gets me, is change. If you guys see the change in your family tree from the change in you because of the Holy Spirit in you, that thing, oh my goodness. It's like, oh, let's go. That is worth it right there. That is so, so worth it. Me seeing Nathaniel go through that, oh my goodness. My dad telling me, man, Rob, I see you raising Nate, and that was the way to do it. And I'm like, thanks, Dad. That means a lot. Now spoil me and catch up. No, I was kidding. I didn't say. But yeah, man, the freedom of just that, it's like a weight off your chest. You don't gotta live waking up all depressed and angry and anxiety or lonely, all that stuff. Cause you know who got your back. You know who got your back. But like I said, like the Bible says, like Jesus said, because narrow is the gate and difficult and the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So choose your difficult, y'all. Choose your difficult. It's very easy to couch slide, play video games all day, do nothing, not have a plan. That's easy. I did that a lot in my 20s. But you know what's hard is actually that is easy to do that part. And then, but choose your hard to, you know, do you want the consequences of all being, what do you call it, slothful catch up to you, you know? Or do you want to put in the grind, the work, feeling good, helping others, you know, all that stuff, you know, all the godly stuff? What does the Bible say? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, godliness with contentment is great gain. So be godly, of course, and then being content with what you have. Oof, talking about gains, man. If y'all hit the gym, that is the true gain right there. Okay. And the verse of the day, too. Let's do a verse of the day, huh? Ooh, this is a good one. I was listening to this from Uncle Frank Turek's podcast, Cross Examine, Dr. Paul Kaplan or Cappin? He ain't capping on this quote. You don't go to war because you hate the people in front of you. You go to war because you love the people behind you. Oh, my goodness. That's a good one. That is such a good one. Let's read that again. You don't go to war because you hate the people in front of you. You go to war because you love the people behind you. That right there, that reminds me of the quote where people who are like, it was a parent quote. Because everyone says that, oh, I'll die for my family. I'll die for you. I told my son that, I'll die for you, bro. Come on. Easy. Okay, now I flip that. But would you live for your family? Oh, ooh, would you live for your family? I know you'd die for me. That's the easy way. How about this? Change your life. Change those bad habits. Stop smoking, Dad. Stop drinking, Mom. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, get our budget together. How about you help me and sit down and walk with me through my homework or any kind of issues I'm having? It's not just because I go to school and I'm always coming back home. It's like, there's a problem somewhere. Would you change? Would you live for your family, for the betterment of them? Yes, you'll take a bullet for each and every one of them. How about this? Sit down and just talk to them. Call them once a week or something. Say, what's up? Do a sibling night, a family dinner or something. Right there, dude. That's it, bro. Ooh. I don't know why I did the scratch here. Let's just do the other one. That's all right. We'll just live with it. God is good, bro. God is good. I think in the book of Titus, it even says if you don't provide for your family, you're just like as an unbeliever. Yikes. But that's your household, though. Household. And we already know that goes into kingdom man, kingdom woman responsibilities. Gosh, that is such a good quote. You don't go to war because you hate the people in front of you. You go to war because you love the people behind you. You really love your family, bro. You take care of yourself. What's that one quote? Oh, my gosh. That was a really good quote that says, it's a slap in the... if you don't go for your goals in your life, or you're not getting up, you're just being lazy, it's a slap in the face of people who believe in you. Oh. And I feel that too, because there are a ton of people where I'm like, godly counsel all day, every day. And then, meow. They don't do nothing. They want to sit there and be emo. I mean, hey, I've been there before. I've been emo before. Come on, man. I've been listening to Blink-182 my whole life. Listen to all that. I love their music, but it's like, at the same time, you got to snap out of that, bro. You got to snap up and snap out of it and wake up and be like, yo, we got to dust the dirt off our boots and keep walking, you know? Walk worthy of the calling, Ephesians 4:1. Walk worthy, you know? You got to keep on walking. Pick up your mat and go. Right? Come on, man. You know, I'm not supposed to sit in the valley of the shadow of death, bro. You just walk through that. Not every day. Okay, we just going at it, man. I love it. I love it. Sister Job should be ready almost soon. Hello, hello, everyone. Guess what? We have Sister Jobes here. Hey.
Hello.
Jobes, what's up? How you been?
I've been good. Just letting the Lord lead me.
Yeah? I don't know if y'all knew, but Sister Jobes here, she helped start Nerds Night in the Fold. So thank you, Sister Jobes, because from that, we have, like, the Nerds chat, and we watch so much anime, so much Star Wars, so much everything Nerds, and disconnecting the Christian, you know, Jesus, because Jesus isn't everything. I'll just let everyone know that. So thanks, Jobes, for coming by.
It was a community.
Amen. Jobes, I'm going to shoot a question of the day out, and you could just feel free to answer some of it or have me, and you just chip in whenever. Okay, so this was in the full Discord, I'm looking for cheap deals. Here we go. This is from a sister. This is it's kind of vague. And I you know, I don't blame her because there could be so much, and I'm actually glad she didn't go too much into detail, because you know, Jobes, a lot of times when someone has hurt you, you could, like, just say so much hurtful things back to them. And she actually just said this. She said, "Please help me to forgive my neighbor. It's been very hard to forgive her." That was all. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, you want me to answer it?
No, up to you. Yeah, if you want to start, you can. If you want me to,
yeah. It's
up to
you. I would have to check in the Bible where it says, but I want to reference it to what I'm about to say, because when you have somebody that you can't forgive, you have to pray and ask the Lord to help you or guide you through that, because I do know that when you hold on to that forgiveness for somebody else, not only does it hurt you in a sense of, like, God can't forgive your transgressions for not forgiving somebody else, you're not allowing that person to get that forgiveness as well.
Amen.
So I wish I can find the scripture to back that up right now.
Go ahead, look for it. Because I'll go off it too, because I know in the Gospels, you know, Jesus talks about, it's like, okay, if you can't forgive your brother, but you're asking for forgiveness from me, it's like, that don't make sense. You know, that don't make sense. It's like, how are you going to be forgiven if you can't forgive someone else? But yeah, you're right. And guys, we will preface it with, the pain, the hurt is real when you're betrayed or someone breaks the trust. That hurts, man. I've been betrayed a few times, you know. My feelings been hurt a few times too, and it's real. So you can't just bury it and be like, oh, okay, it's a new day. No. You still have to process it, you know. Why did I get hurt? You know, because, you know, guys, feelings are there. Yes, feel your feelings, but your feelings aren't the final factor in your decision making. Because if you go off your feelings, you can go, oh, Joby hurt me. Well, you know what? I'm going to hurt her right back. You know, that's dangerous, very dangerous, and very, very contrary to the Christian living. So you process it, you feel it. But then now, you know, you kind of want to, because we serve a God of reconciliation. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus, because we're now able to have this awesome open line of communication with God, you know. So us ourselves do the same with others, you know. In the book of Matthew, we're supposed to, like, confront. And see, that's the thing. That's why I don't like social media too much, because confrontation, everyone's scared to talk to each other face to face. Everyone just wants to text. But to go to the person and say, hey, are we all good? I know this happened. Hey, I'm a little hurt that you said this, Joby, sis. Like, what's up? I mean, am I missing something? Be open to it. Don't just say, hey, it's your fault. Say sorry to me right now. No, that's not going to work. You want to go into the meeting with a heart of course, forgiveness, grace, because we all need grace, and reconciliation. And then if your brother or sister is open to it, then you've gained a brother, as the book of Matthew says. But if they don't, that's when you kind of bring the leaders into that aspect of, hey, I tried squashing it with Sister Joby, but she's not having it. Maybe if one of you guys talk to her as leaders, as a wise counsel, then we can move on. And if I recall too, Jobes, I think the end step is like there, if the person is not forgiven, like or is not they don't want to forgive, they don't want to confront the issue, you excommunicate them from the church. I think that's how crazy it gets.
Oh.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Can you imagine you go to church and someone's like, "No, I don't want to forgive Joby over there, but let's keep singing praises."
I feel like that just gives it room for the enemy
Yes.
to do all these types of work. Especially like if you're angry at somebody, he could put all this like gossip and anger and just stuff that we're not supposed to be speaking out of our mouth, because our mouth is, God tells us that we have life and death in our tongues. So obviously, whatever we say is gonna cut. So,
Amen.
so
Yeah.
yeah.
So overall, the struggle is real. It is hard to, forgive others, to go past it. But at the same time, when you know that God has done it through Jesus, then it's just like, oh, okay. I mean, that person is forgiven. Now, when you guys do forgive somebody, that doesn't mean you trust them right away. It's not like if like Joby hurt me and go, okay, I forgive you, and then now everything's back to normal. No way, no way, no way. It's a whole new rebuilding trust issue, and that's a whole different episode. But I do know if anyone is having issues with trust or forgiveness or basic boundaries, Dr. Henry Cloud is like one of the top Christian authors that I've read, and a lot of the fold has read too, Boundaries by Dr. Henry Cloud, and I think he has a new book called Trust. And I love it, Jobs, because he brings up so much scripture because he's a Christian, and I'm just like, oh, I love how he brings scripture up, because boundaries, forgiveness, trust, hitting from the mental point of view of it, the emotional side of it. Oh my gosh, it's very, very b biblical. Very, very biblical. So, but thank you
Wow.
for helping with the question of the day, sis. Let's get to
Of course.
let's get to our main topic, and we are talking about the Christian themes in different animes. You see a lot of it, Jobs, I'm sure, right? With all the animes you watch. What's the current animes you watching right now?
Right now, currently, I haven't gone back to watching anime, but the most recent one,
Yeah.
especially because they just brought up like the live action, is definitely One Piece.
Woohoo.
So yeah. But
Man,
I
that
am gonna go back into it. It's just things have been happening in life that I haven't had a chance to watch TV as much, but I love anime. Anime is my comfort zone.
Oh, same. I love it. I love it. And it's really cool now because watching it before I was a Christian, like seriously, and then watching it after, two different light and day differences. I know, like on a lot, like I remember watching Spy X Family, and then of course My Hero, and seeing all the different themes. Man, I'm just like bawling. I'm just like, oh my gosh, because a lot of the themes there is self-sacrificial, people giving up their lives for their friends. Hello, very biblical. Good versus evil. It's so good. And the anime, I guess I'll talk about, My Hero Academia. I've been watching it, and I didn't get, like, I'm not at the end yet, y'all, so please forgive me, but I love it because it's so much to digest after like a few episodes. The main character, okay, so My Hero Academia, it starts off, the premise is everyone there in, I guess, Earth has like a superpower, or they call it a quirk, and everyone's given one. You could have like the best one, you could fly, shoot fireballs out of your hands, whatever, but sometimes people don't even have a quirk, or they have like a small one where all they could do is just make the wind blow a little harder. I mean, everyone has their own quirk, but the main character, his name is Midoriya, and what's cool about Midoriya is he does not, he's average Joe. He's probably even worse. He gets bullied at school. Average Joe character, but he is so keen on becoming like his favorite superhero, All Might. And we're talking about like Captain America, Superman on the screen, and he's always wanting to be that guy, that standard. Oh, I want to be a hero, I want to be a leader. I can't wait. I'm gonna work so hard. And when he finally gets taken to the hospital to be like, all right, you're about to get your quirk, he actually is told that he will never have a quirk. So he is told from the get-go, like, he's not gonna amount to anything. And he's just, it's like one of the saddest scenes, because he's like, his eyes are watery, but you could tell his mindset is still like, no, I'm going to. And so one key thing there, guys, is just him wanting to be the best. And the reason he wants to become a hero, it's because he wants to help others. Aw. Right there. That right there, you could always tell a person's their character is, once you ask a person, what's your dream? What's your goal? And you can kind of tell by their answer, their response is like, oh, that's kind of just like self. Or, I want to do this so I can help others. I want to have A, B, and C. That person, I want to, whoever God puts in my life right there. So you could really tell on a person's motivation, on their goals. Anyway, so to end it, I don't want to make it too long. Midoriya actually trains real hard. He meets All Might in All Might's human form, or his quirkless form, and All Might chooses him to become the next All Might. And Midoriya starts training like so hard. Like, we're talking about where he's like late at night, come home, sleep, wake up, do it again. And he's training, and he's helping not just himself, but others. And he is given like the crappiest beginning. Everyone else was prepared for their super quirk power, but he did not have any of that. He was just given to it, and he's like, all right. But the thing I love about Midoriya is his mindset. Like, no one's gonna stop him from being the best. And going into Bible verse, I know Ephesians, I was just reading Ephesians 4:1, how it talks about walking worthy, in the calling that's in Jesus Christ. And that's really important. So I want to ask everyone, like, ask yourself, are you walking worthy of the calling that's been on your life? You really walking worthy? Everything that you're doing now, especially with our bodies and our mindset, like, is, if God like came down and was like, all right, let's do a little inspection. Are you good? Are you on track? Midoriya is super self-sacrificial. Like, he doesn't even care about himself at times, where he's just like, I'm gonna help my friends, and I train so hard to help my friends. Luke 6:31 says, do to others as you would have them do to you, the golden rule, right? Brothers and sisters, this is James 4:11. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. And that's a huge one too, because, like Joby was saying, power of life and death, and life and death is in our tongue. Let's see. Of course, Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves. And it's just talking about being a good friend. And you don't just see this in My Hero. You see this in One Piece. You see this in Naruto. You see this in Dragon Ball. You see them that, you know, you want to everyone out there, all my brothers and sisters out there, you want to be a good, you want good friends? You have to be a good friend first. You know, you want someone to show up in your dark times and good times? You better be showing up for someone else's dark times and good times. I know this is, I believe this is Zig Ziglar, Christian business tycoon. He says, I think this is him that says this. Show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You know, that's a huge thing. Here we go. Your net worth is your network, you know? And then the last one, you are the sum total of your closest five friends. And then it's a little modified because it goes, you are the sum total of pretty much all your friends. And I like that too, because, you know, you want to surround yourself with, you know, good friends. You know, you don't want to sit around people who just gossip a lot, talking bad about one another, not really. Mm-hmm. And I've been there, guys. I've been in those circles of friends, and I just had to say enough is enough, man. There is so much negativity. I had a friend who always complained about work, Jobs, and this person would always, every day, it was like three years, can you imagine, 3 years straight, every conversation, every text I had with my friend would always be like, oh my gosh, this person's like this person's like that, I don't want them, oh my gosh, they don't even know how to clean the counter, they don't know how to do this, and I'm just like, have you ever talked to them? You ever talked to that person? You guys ever have a meeting? You ever talk to your boss, your supervisor? And the person be like, no. And I'm like, but the thing is that the thing that I had to draw the boundary, because it affected me. It started to affect me. I started chipping into, you know what? You're right. That person's like that. And I'm like, whoa, that's not, I don't even know who this person is. Who is this person you're talking to? It's just some weird coworker. I guess maybe that person's not even weird. So that stuff right there could really hurt, because you're just speaking death upon death upon death. And then next thing you know, your life is messed up. You wake up 2 a.m. thinking about this person. You start making your decisions about this person. So, but now you flip it and be speaking life, putting others' interests in, you know, maybe helping that person. Hey, I don't know her name. Hey, Susie, this is how you clean the counter. There you go. All right, cool. Stuff like that, guys, those little small seeds right there of faith, of godliness, oh, those little small fruit, oh my goodness, pays dividends. One little act of Jesus could change the whole picture, you know, one little mustard seed of faith, oh man, 30, 60, 90 crop fold of just goodness in someone's life. And I see that in My Hero Academia, in Deku's life. And I think that was only like the first like two to three seasons, him just working so hard to help others always brings a tear to my eye, because he has so much faith in people who don't have faith in themselves. Oh my goodness, that's good. He had so much faith in others, and they're just like, I don't believe in myself. He's like, yeah, but I believe in you. I'm like, oh my goodness, like, oh, I just start tearing up, like, oh my gosh.
Speaking life into them.
Yeah, you speak in life, and you just really, really showing that character of Christ that's in you to them. And, you know, Jesus' light illuminates, bro. Like, people get lit up too. I'm like, oh, wow. And that's just straight up research, man. Did you know, Jobs, I don't know if you knew this, that your the way you have emotion when you walk into a room, when you walk into a meeting, when you walk into a store, it's contagious. You could go into a meeting, and if everyone's just like, yeah, this one of these meetings again. But if you come in there like, hey, what's up, Todd? How you doing? How's the kids? Hey, Susie, are we still going to play games this weekend? Hey, man, that changes the room. And I didn't know that. Shout out to Vanessa Van Edwards, Science of People. She and then shout out to Pastor Craig Grishel, who helped create the Bible app, he was the one that had her on the show, and she studies people. And when you guys go into meetings, it doesn't matter, big corporations, small corporation, hello, family meeting, if you go in there with the attention of, hey, I want us to all be in peace, love, kindness, you go in there with that intention, really being that character of Christ, I'll do it. It rubs off. People are going to be like, hey, what's up? Oh, man, Jovi's so friendly. That's cool. You know, stuff like that. So
it's probably irrelevant, but it makes me think about how if you ever worked in a job that you have to answer the phone and stuff, or like to go orders or something like that, you can tell in their voice.
Yes, yes.
When they're like not happy or when they are happy. Yep. And then when you come up to the drive-through window, they're all like all smiling. Like, oh, this person's friendly. Here you go.
No. That's good. Yeah, it's that's good. Like that. No, you're right. And it's funny that you brought that up, because she did bring up that study where they only did doctors did their greeting. You couldn't see their face. You can only hear their voice. And it said, "Hi, my name is Dr. da 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 da." And people would hear and go, "Oh, they're not friendly." You know, they'll do a thing. So they found out that a lot of the doctors that had a good character, you know, a display. And you know what was crazy, Jobs? Was they didn't even have their words. They blurred out their words. So it would sound like,
Oh, wow.
And people judged it off that. Isn't that crazy? And then the people who had, you know, the doctors who actually were like, "Hi, my name is Dr. Todd. I am your family practitioner." You know, like, oh, whatever it is. And I was just like, that is so cool. And and then if I recall, the study was the people, the doctors that did not have as much feedback because they sounded like kind of mundane and sad, you know, they were the ones that actually were sued for malpractice. Yeah, isn't that crazy? So yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. Then she goes deep into it. But I gotta read
myself this book.
Yeah. she has a few books. She does a lot of books on communication. Her name is Vanessa Van Edwards. It's pretty cool because I kind of talked to her on social media. She's like, all right, cool. And she I'll let you guys know. So her name is Vanessa Van Edwards. She runs Science of People. She has two books called, one book called Q, which you could, how to read people. And then one book called Captivate, on how to be very, very confident and communicative in your talk. You know, how to captivate others. Because if you can't really communicate, I'm going to let everyone know this. I don't care if you're an extrovert or an introvert. Communication is key in life, and anyone could level that up. I believe it. Warren Buffett says 60% of your skills will be leveled up if you level up your communication. Even the most introverted person will inspire, like, I believe at least 10,000 people. Because think about it. How many people do you talk to every day? You know, you kind of talk to a lot of people every day. And so your communication could rub off. They could be like, oh my gosh, Joby's such a drag. Ugh, why did she sound like that? Or you could be like, oh my gosh, she was so enlightening. Like, oh my God, I want to be better. You know, so, you know, like just doing stuff like that. It's really cool, Joby. Yeah, Vanessa Van Edwards, and follow her on social media because it's cool. She describes herself as a recovering awkward person because she's an awkward person. She's a recovering awkward person. It's crazy because she'll be like, yeah, I don't know. It's weird to talk to people, to communicate. But this is what I learned. And it, for me, it's different because I already kind of know through all my years of like, oh, I can go into a room and just chat with anybody. That's just Kuya. I never was like that. I was crying in third grade presenting my book report. Jeez. But but
what kind of book report was that?
Well, the thing was, see, and that's the thing, Jobs, was I didn't have confidence. Remember, my parents, they divorced when I was younger, so I had no confidence, no self-esteem, no nothing. So it was just like thrown in the fire. Like, talk to 30 people. And I'm like, I've never done this before. And usually when this happens, I'm getting slapped. So see? So I had to grow out of that. There's a lot of stuff I had to grow out of. Thank you, Jesus. But now it's just like, I'll speak to 1,000 people. Who do I need to speak to? So But anyways, God is good. Yeah, that was My Hero Academia, guys, and that's the main character. His name is Deku. They give him, it's crazy. They give him that nickname because it means blockhead or a fool. But then he used that for his superhero name because he wanted to give it a new definition, meaning strong, a hero, someone who saves others. And I was like, oh, let's go. I started crying when they asked him, I was like, what do you want to be known as? He's like, I'm going to use Deku, even though a lot of y'all dissing me. It's all good. Like, I'm going to use it to be great, to help others. And I'm like, let's go. So, yeah, man.
Nice. Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say about, like, the name switch, because if you think about it, in the Bible, a lot of people that came to Jesus, Jesus actually changed their names afterwards to give them a new meaning, a new purpose, you know? So I think that's kind of pretty cool, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. That reminds me of Naomi. Remember how she was like, oh, my name, changed my name to, I forgot what it was called, but it was name of bitterness, and I'm like, oh, what the heck, like, she wanted to be called, you know, change her name, because, you know, back in that, in those days, names meant everything. They were tied. That's why I always ask people when I start talking to others, I ask them, like, oh, what's your name, where did it derive from, you know, who, you know, like, I, names are very, very, very important. So anyways, yeah, so that's My Hero Academia, guys. That was like the first maybe two seasons. I just briefly talked about the main character. It's really cool. It's such a good premise about everybody having a superhero power or quirk, and they go to school for it, train for it, learn how to be heroes and stuff. Jobes, did we want to take a break off that and come back, or because I have I do, okay, all right, so no problem, you're good. We are going to go to, there's this article that was written in the Relevant magazine. It's a, it's kind of like a contemporary Christian magazine, and I love it because they talk about contemporary issues and the Christian spin on it. And Joshua Riggs wrote about what spiritual growth looks like. Well, it says what spiritual growth actually looks like. And he wrote it, and I'm going to read briefly on it. Okay, so he goes, if getting in shape was easy, then everyone would do it. I agree. That's the thing about health. No matter what type you're talking about, mental, emotional, physical, or yes, spiritual, it takes effort. For the most part, we know this. Nobody expects to be in six-pack summer shape without a healthy diet, a rigorous workout routine, and more people are waking up to the fact that getting into a mentally and emotionally healthy place means finding a counselor who has the resources to help you sort through your personal issues. Even solid financial health takes real work. Gaining a budget, sorting through your expenses, and making some changes. Now he talks about, okay, so he says, he quotes this writer, I do feel like a lot of this is telling people stuff they already know. If you want to know Jesus, then you have to read the Bible, go to church, and pray. And you knew this as a three-year-old. And that's true. I'll admit that I knew that when I was not even on my walk with Jesus. I was just told to go to church. You know, I was Catholic at the time. And I knew, it was like, oh, okay, God, you want to get closer to God, go to church, pray, read the Bible. Everyone knew that. And it's kind of weird, Jobes, don't you think, that a lot of people, though it be simple, it's easily forgettable.
Mm. Wow. It's deep, though, because we get ourselves into a constant routine that we're not really grasping the idea that it's more of like a relationship. Mm. Like, the religion is important, but you're missing the bigger piece in it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's deep.
It's crazy. It's simple, but deep. But yet again, you could be 3 years old and still know the proper steps. You know, you still know the proper, like, oh, yeah, you just gotta read your word, you know, of course, pray, like get that intimate time with the Lord, be connected to a body of Christ. But I do like how it talks about, you know, working out, financial. I got really financially healthy this whole year, Jobs. I don't know if I told you. I think I told a lot of the fold. And hello, I run the co-host Financial Peace University. Hello, guys. If you guys want to join the next semester, we just ended our first Financial Peace University class in the fold. Shout out to everyone who joined in. It was so good because, you know, a lot of people go in there thinking like, all right, Financial Peace University is going to get me rich. It's just like, yes, but at the same time, it's like, what do you, you know, you got to put in work. Like, you have to actually write down your budget. Like, how much money are you getting? You got to erase a lot of stuff. I remember writing down a budget and going, gosh, I spent so much money on subscriptions. Job, sis, I had like 25 to 30 subscriptions.
Ugh.
Yeah. And I spent like almost $1,000 on Amazon almost every month. Like, it was the craziest thing. I was like, this was before, and I had to clean all that up because I had it written down. Like, that needs to go. That needs to go. And then guess what? All of a sudden, it's like, oh, well, I guess I do feel rich now because I have all this. Yeah, I was like, oh, you're not spending so much money. All this useless junk, Robert. You know, so thank you, Holy Spirit. And so going through that, and then we also had our credit card chop-up days. Like, we had days where we paid off our credit card. Or not even paid off. I mean, yeah, I paid mine off, but you could just chop them all up because credit cards are tough, y'all. Don't, that stuff makes you think you have money when you don't have money. So yeah, that I was like tearing up too, man. We're like cutting, I'm like, oh my gosh, so many years I've been paying this off and now I had to get focused. But see, the main point, everyone, is that it takes intentionality. You have to have a plan and go, I'm going to pay off this card or write a budget down in an hour or tomorrow morning, and then bring it to the spiritual side of it. I am going to wake up, read the Bible for 20 minutes or whatever it is. I'm going to hit the war room with the Lord. Spend that time with the Lord. That stuff is very, very important. I mean, yes, you can, yes, go to church. That's, of course, you have to have the community, the body of Christ part. But if you're not doing it privately with the Lord, behind closed doors, then all that public stuff ain't gonna matter, bro. That's one thing I always get on a lot of Christians, brothers and sisters about. It's like, guys, that's cool you're here. I'm glad you're at another fold Zoom, but how's your family? You know, like how are you at work? How are you? You know, that's like the personal time. And I'm like, oh, I barely read the Bible, but I'll come here. I'm like, whoa, brother. <It's> like, I only read the Bible with the fold. Like, whoa, no. You got to be making sure you a student without the fold, man, you know?
Mm.
But like I said, guys, it takes intentionality and diligence and wisdom, you know? If you guys read the book of Proverbs, it talks about so much being prudent, being diligent. The Bible says we're supposed to be wise and diligent, sober and vigilant. These are traits of a Christian. Like, you want to have that fire of the Lord? Oh, you better be, your head better be in the book. Your head better be praying. You better be, fasting. And it talks about fasting too. Oh my goodness. Jobs, I don't know if I told you, but in July when I came back from the big city, because my dad was in the hospital, he's good now, I've been doing 15-hour fasts every day, 15-hour every day, and it was tough at first. Of course, any fast is tough when you first start it, but then now it just becomes second nature. Like, it's just like, all right, it sucks, Lord, but you know what? I rely on you. You know, I'm seeking your guidance and your counsel, and it's I'll say that it's been actually really, really fun. Like, it's not just fun, but really, what do you call it? The fruit of it, but also just knowing, like, oh, that wasn't that bad. You know, now I don't really, you know, I go to God right away. And everyone should kind of have some kind of fast, if it's social media, if it's food, what else, anything else that would hurt you. I mean, you know, like hurt you in a way where it's like, oh, that's tough to give up. Oh, I want to watch my Netflix show. You know,
or coffee.
You know, if it doesn't hurt you guys, that's not a true fast. You know, so you have to make sure it's like a something that really blood, sweat, and tears. If I recall too, I think that's why even God denied Cain's offering in Genesis. It was like, oh, you gave me these second fruits? Like, man, there's no blood, sweat, and tears in this. Nah, I don't want this. But then Abel was like, here's the firstborn, Lord, let's go. Like, this is right here. And, you know, he accepted Abel's, but not Cain's.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I was gonna add to that about the fact that, to me, I think that fasting is important as well, because even in the Bible, it talks about how our spirit and our flesh are constantly like fighting each other. So if you're feeding more of your flesh, it's gonna be harder for you to stay away from temptation. So that's why fasting is important, because you're crucifying your flesh and you're strengthening your spirit and spending time with the Lord. And that's what's the key thing about fasting is that when you're fasting, you're doing it with the Lord, because without his strength without having that relationship or connection with him, then the fasting didn't fulfill the purpose of crucifying your flesh. Is why I think fasting is important to learning how to build yourself a little bit more spiritually with the Lord and crucifying your flesh.
Amen. Yes, fasting is very important. Bible reading is so important, and we'll touch upon this. Guys, you know, I remember when I first read the Bible, I was reading straight up King James Version back when I was in high school. Wow. And I'd just fall asleep. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I hate it. I'm going to tell you guys right now, I hated it. I was like, dude, this is just, Lord, how am I going to, I don't get it. And there's no one really to teach me, right? Well, sort of. So, but now, later in life, I met, of course, my lovely family in the fold, a lot of my old church. You know, there's a lot of different translations that help you digest the word. Of course, Holy Spirit activate, but it comes in, and you know, there's NLT version, NIV version, NKJV version. All these versions really, really help. Of course, when you got like friends and family, friends like Jovi, sister Jobs, all the other brothers and sisters in the fold at your local church, they will help you. Like, and then you know, it starts going, oh, it starts making sense. Cool, guys. I don't know if y'all knew, but I'm really nerdy, so I got like Manga Messiah. I got the Bible in anime version. I got Jesus anime version. I love it. I got the Action Bible, where it's a comic book. It's a comic book Bible written by one of the old Marvel studio illustrators, and they made the Bible look so cool. And all the different commentaries from all the different theologians and all that. I love reading stuff like that. You know, of course, don't take it away from the main, you know, read the meat for yourself. But, you know, that right there, I love studying the word like that. Of course, listening to your local pastor, being connected. That's the Bible reading. I mean, if you're able to sit down and read King James Version 20 minutes and understand it, hey, more power to you. But I can't do it. It's a little tough. It's a little tough. Prayer, of course, guys, prayer is important. I was talking to his sister, I think a couple of days ago, and you know, I told her, I was like, man, you could tell a person's relationship with God when you hear them pray. Like, you could definitely tell a person's relationship. Let me look. It's like, okay, we'll have sister pray, and if it's just like, oh yes, Lord, bless everyone, amen. It's just like, okay. But man, y'all hear Kuya pray, I'm like trying to bring down heaven. I'm just like, Lord, right now, y'all people getting suffered, my brother dealing with this, oh my goodness, Lord, but your word says that you are with us, you'll never forsake us, you'll never leave us, you know. And that's the stuff God, you know, and then that's just, and I'm telling everyone, that's just when you when you're spending that time with God, growing with him, right? What does the word say? Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. So it's an intentionality. It's not just like, oh, one day I'm just going to pray. God, of course, God's going to love that. But at the same time, it's like, God's like, okay, well, now let's follow that prayer up. You got, you know, worship, you got your Bible studies, you connected to a community of Christians, going to church. And that's the other thing too, though, y'all, going to church, it's being connected to a community. Don't just go to church for attendance. Like, if you're just gonna go every Sunday, that's just like the person thinking they're gonna be in shape if they go to the gym once a week. You know, that's impossible. You gotta be connected to a community 3-4 times a week. Even if it's just texting, even if it's like Zoom call, like me and Job's right here, stuff like that. I think that's really important, Job. So that's one thing a lot of people downplay, is being connected to a body of Christ. I mean, they think the church, I mean, yes, I could see why people are hurt from the church. You know, oh, they're all a bunch of hypocrites. Guess what? You're a hypocrite too. I'm a hypocrite too. Like, let's just be honest. We're all sinners, right? We're all, none of us, right? Come on. If we're saying we're perfect, it's like, okay, liar. It's like, come on. Oh, if we're perfect, then why did Jesus come? You know, it's like, oh. It's like,
oh my gosh.
But yeah, these are just the basics, guys, of just the basics, but deep, like Sister Joby was saying, of spiritual growth, you know, being connected to a body of Christ, being your Bible reading, the Bible app, of course, you know, we all know the Bible app. Thank you, Life Church, for that. You're getting your prayer time on, you know, 1 minute prayer, 5 minute prayer, 50 minute prayer. Like, guys, you're talking to our Father God. You know, that's your guys' time. So, amen. Sister Jobs, are we ready to your breakdown of One Piece?
Yes.
All right, let's go.
So, I love this anime because it's about... Oh, thank you. Okay, so I love this anime because it brings up this character named Luffy, and this guy wants to be king of the pirates, and he already has it in his heart that he is the king of the pirates.
Amen.
And that he's going to become king of the pirates. And the whole thing about the anime is finding the One Piece, which... Oh my gosh, my brain just went blank on the main pirate's name, that he hid the One Piece, so he caused a lot of people to go search for a lot of the pirates and stuff. And
Gold Roger?
The funny thing is that
Is it Gold Roger or Roger Gold or something like that? Gold Roger? Gold,
I think it is Gold Roger. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I remember, yes.
And then in this anime, basically pirates are supposed to be like, they're supposed to be like the bad guys. Like, they have a bad name, a bad reputation. But Luffy is changing the game of changing the perspective on what a pirate is, and I love it because his charisma and his love for his friends as well is like amazing, and like the wits to like fight for what he believes in is also very inspiring to see. And what about Luffy is that whenever I will watch him, I'll be like, dang, if Luffy met Jesus, he would be an evangelist.
Yes. Amen. For real.
I feel like he would be an evangelist. Because he meets people where they are. And then he molds.
Molds.
Luffy actually motivates people with his actions and his words as well. And let's see, what are some of the key things that I saw here as well? With his actions, he got his crew to become pirates, but each one has a dream and a goal. So it's kind of like with us, where, in the Bible, it talks about how we are called to make disciples, And obviously, each person has a different walk in their life, kind of like the different characters in the anime, and they have goals on what their purpose is. Like, for example, when Luffy meets Zoro, when he met him, he was actually looking for him
Right.
because
He was
he
hunting
was
him.
like a great swordsman,
Right.
and that's actually what Zoro wants to be. His goal is to be the greatest swordsman.
Yes.
And then, for example, there's a character in there named Nami. She is known
Nami.
for being a thief, but she is a great navigator. But she wants to create the world map.
Right,
That's
right.
her dream. So I feel like that's kind of like how I could relate to that. How, if we evangelize and we make more disciples, there's going to be different people in different walks, and that's how it becomes one. Like, if you think about how the boat could be like the body
Yeah.
type of thing, and Luffy has his crew members with different skills, different backgrounds, but still helping each other for one goal, finding the One Piece. So what's another thing that I wrote?
Man, that's so good, sis. I totally forgot
He
about
tend
how Luffy, yeah. He's just like, "Oh yeah,
yeah.
what's your goal too? Yeah. I want you to get your goal." I'm like, "Aw, like bro,
Yes.
so sweet, man."
Which comes up to the next part where he tends to always have joy even through tough
Come
times.
on.
Because it even like as people that follow Jesus, the Lord gives us joy. So, how do I explain that? That when you have joy from the Lord, and you just like you tend to project it onto others, and I feel like that's what Luffy does too
Come
when
on.
he brings out like his joy to other people. He doesn't sweat it when he's missing something. He didn't worry that he didn't have a crew yet or a ship. All he knew was that he was going to get it, and he got it.
Amen. Amen, indeed.
So basically, to me, whenever I see this character, it makes me think like doubt doesn't reign over him or fear. So it's just like really cool to see in an anime. Doesn't let the enemy or anyone make him doubt who he is. Because there's so many that want to make him like, you're not going to be king of the pirates. And based on his actions, they start to believe him too, And he is going to be king of the pirates. He is
I
going to
love it.
find the
I
One
love it.
Piece. And then lastly, which I'm going to. Actually, I think I wrote a couple of them, so I feel like this is a lot. Sorry.
All good. All good.
Luffy taught his friends to step out of their comfort and stand for what they believe in as well. Like, for example, one of the first characters that you start to meet in the One Piece is Kobe. And if you
Aww.
think about it, his whole goal and dream was to be a Marine. But based on the situation that he was in, he was oppressed to being a cabin boy or a chore boy.
Yeah.
And that's not who he is. But then when Luffy came, he changed his mindset and his perspective and tell him, like, if that's what you want to do, then do it. And then, based on Luffy's actions, it made him like think like, oh man, I can do it too. So it made him step out of his
Yes. The comfort zone, yes.
Zone to stand up for what he wanted to be instead of from what people are making him believe what he needs to be. Mm-hmm. You know?
I love that.
Just like with Zorro. He was considered to be a bounty hunter, but his whole dream is about to be the greatest swordsman. And he wants to go around, you know, fighting the strongest swordsman. Again, with Nami, she was considered to be a thief, but wants to be a great map maker. These things hinder their dreams and passions, including being with the wrong people. Especially like with Nami, she was like in a gang, and you know, it hindered her passion. It actually showed that she was actually chained to a table one time, just like being forced to draw like maps and stuff. Yeah. But it just gets deep when it comes to that.
And sis, I can't remember. Is One Piece still going on? Aren't they going to create a new season? I thought they were. Not live action, but the anime.
Oh, it's still going.
Wow, that's so cool.
I think it has like 4 more years.
That's so cool.
Yeah, wow. It has 4 more years. By the fourth year, I think it'll be the last.
Nice. I love it. I love One Piece. One Piece is so dope.
It's so good. And, you know, one of my favorite characters, though, that Luffy gets to meet and, you know, inspired him to, you know, keep going was Sanji. He's an amazing cook, but his dreams were to go out there on the,
the line?
The Deep Blue Sea or something like that?
Okay, yeah.
The Deep Blue, maybe?
Yeah, the Deep Blue, right?
Don't come for me if I don't remember names. All I know is that I enjoy this anime, and that's it.
Like, what kind of fan are you? We don't even know the name.
The fans that enjoys it.
Sanji, oh my gosh.
And then the cool thing about that is that the chef that's above him knew what his dreams are. And to fulfill that dream, he had to, like, let him go. Yeah. You know, and then it all worked out for Luffy because Luffy needed a cook. So
you're hired.
There's that. At first, he was like, "No, I'm not going with you." He's like, "Come on." Where's the other one? God, in a way, does that for us too when we know our calling and we step out in faith. Not worrying about the little things God provides, basically. And then I put, sir, this man is always saying the truth to the point where it gets him in trouble sometimes. Like, they don't need to know you're there to steal a map. So it's like, I love that about Luffy because he's so truthful.
Yeah, he's honest.
And I feel like as children of God, we are to be truthful. And then sometimes when we're bold on certain things, it does get us in trouble, not by God, but like, you know, other people that they get mad, you know? Another thing that cracks me up, though, is that this man would leave behind the rest of the crew to save the one.
Oh, wow.
He knew they could, well, he knows that the rest of his crew can fend for themselves, but if he knows that there is one crew member that has gone astray, based on like their life coming, well, like for example, with Nami, she was part of the crew for a little bit, but then she, had to go back to her land where the whole gang was there, and obviously she was unhappy and everything of being there, but Luffy saw something in her that he kind of knew that that's not where she wants to be, so he went after her.
That was so good
to save her. and her village.
That was the episode. My son showed me the anime one where he was like, she's not like that, you know, she's not really like that. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's like going above and beyond to go save her. And
Yeah, he
of
does that
course,
for
Nami should be
all
saved.
of his.
I'll
He said,
save
of
you.
course, of
I'll save
course.
you too, Nami. I'm coming.
Oh my goodness. I feel like my favorite one so far of him saving one of his crew members was shoot. Hold on. Give me a moment.
Okay.
Robin. Yes. I don't know if you've seen that
Nope.
episode
Nope.
of Robin. I'm not gonna say a lot, but like I feel like he has gone to all of his crew members' needs to save them. And my favorite one so far is Robin's. 'Cause that hit and struck me like a roller coaster of emotions. So once you get there, Robbie, if you get to
Yeah.
that point of her story and you think it's done, it is not done. You're gonna go through another
Oh, dang. Okay.
roller coaster of emotions. So have tissues. Just letting
Dang.
you know. But it's just so insane because like he doesn't really like force himself to be I'm gonna save you. How can I explain it? Like he wants to wait until you actually, show some sort of sign that you actually want to be saved,
Right.
he's gonna go after you. So I think that's like beautiful, and I just love how Luffy has that love, compassion, and just like determination to, help his crew members out and, help them reach their goals. So
I love that.
I know I didn't add any scriptures in there, but if I should add one, it would be Ezekiel 34:12, and it says, "As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on the cloudy and dark day." So yeah.
Amen. Thanks, sis. And what I like about this too is it seems like both characters, from One Piece and My Hero, Deku and Luffy, they both will go above and beyond for their friends, you know.
That is very true. And you know what's crazy? This is something that my sister told me, and I'm gonna give credits to her. So if she ever sees this video, she'll be like, "That's right. I'm the true anime reader, manga, whatever." But
Wow.
actually, all the creators of like One Piece, Naruto, and My Hero Academia, they're all fans of each other.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
So that like amazes me because you know how in the community of like anime that they're
Oh
like,
yeah.
"Oh no, Naruto is better," or like
Yeah.
"One Piece is better," and blah blah blah, all this like toxic
Yeah.
attitude. But if you look at the creators, they love their work.
Oh
Like
yeah.
they have no beef, no nothing. It's just like
Yeah,
to
I think
think that they got inspired with each other to
yeah.
help make these animes. So it's just like something to think about.
Oh yeah. No, it's very true. And also too, it's like when you know they have better things to do than to beat each other up, like, oh, we're better. No, you're better. It's like, no, you inspired me with Naruto, so I made MHA and One Piece, or you know, whatever, vice versa. Because I know
Yeah.
in Naruto, dude, like, same thing. Naruto will go above and beyond for his friends, and he was looked down upon in the village.
Oh, yeah.
And then, but he's still believing the best for everybody. I'm just like, gosh. And he's getting beat up and all that stuff. I see it in One Piece. I see it. I know Deku, too. Deku has a friend who, like, he's a childhood friend who bullies him. And yet, Deku still believes in him. And it's crazy because, you know, I watched the subtitles. And the Bakugo, he's always telling him, like, I hate you. I'll kill you. I'll cut your head off. And then here's Deku going, I want to save you.
I love you.
I love you. You're still my friend. It's like, shut up. And then and it was crazy because they have that one scene where it's like he broke his leg, Bakugo. And then he's like, and then Deku's like, I'll help you. I'll carry you. And he's like, you ain't going to carry me. I hate you. I'll kill you. And then and he goes, but I'll authorize you to be my crutch. So he uses Deku as a crutch, like he actually uses his head, and I'm like, see, Deku, and Deku still goes for it, because he's like, I'm saving your life, Bakugo, but Bakugo doesn't see it like that. I'm just like cracking up the whole time, like, jeez, this kid.
You know what's funny, though, like, for some reason, I love Bakugo, and I feel like he doesn't grasp the idea of, I feel like, what bothers him is of how Deku is inspiring others, and
yeah,
and in a way his pride gets in the way. Yeah. So that's what like conflicts him. But mm-hmm. deep down, you know that he loves him.
Oh yeah.
It reminds me.
It's like a Vegeta syndrome from Dragon Ball Z, kind of where Vegeta's like, I want to be as good as Goku, but then Goku is so loving and he doesn't, you know, he's so loving and caring, and Vegeta's not. And he's starting, and then, you know, Vegeta realizes at the end, like, dang, you're better because you actually don't have pride holding you back. You know, pride is what got the devil kicked out of heaven. So, you know, come on, let's remember that, guys. Okay. What did he say?
Hey.
What's up?
No, I'm just agreeing with you. This is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's, was it, not Ezekiel, is it Ezekiel or Isaiah? He just talks, what are the things that Satan says? He says, I will ascend to the throne. I will be like the Most High. I will. You know, that's why I, you know, we all got to be careful. If, are you doing it for your will or thy will be done, you know? Is it, you know, mm-hmm. is it theology or is it meology, you know? So that's why pride is very, very dangerous, because when you start getting that feel of, oh, it's me, I'm doing everything, okay, I could, you know, I don't need no help, I don't need no divine help, then that's, you know, it's crazy, because the Bible talks about it, about Satan just getting kicked out. He talked about how he was so beautiful, the morning star, but he got a little too, you know, he wanted the throne for himself. And he took a third of the angels. So, oh, that's crazy. But anyways, yeah, I it's a Vegeta syndrome kind of thing with Bakugo. But yeah, you're right. He's starting to realize, like, hey, dang, Midoriya's helping everybody here. Maybe I could loosen up a little bit too.
No, which proves that, like, for us, when we walk in Christ, like, the righteous way, the just way as well. It also projects into others. And, you know,
amen.
When you plant that little seed of like love and stuff, yes, like that, it starts growing and it changes people, because the Lord has something to work on, you know? And I feel like that's like a beautiful thing to see.
You're right. It's very beautiful. Because man, the enemy loves to confuse and pervert many things that would help us, you know. Like we want others to achieve their goals, right? But then there'll always be that voice that's like, oh, they're doing way better than you. Maybe you gotta do better now. You know, like it's just like, oh, whoa, where's that coming from? Holy Spirit activate. But I mean, so it's, you know, that what does the Bible say, y'all? In one of the Corinthian books, you know, take our thoughts captive, right? We got to take those thoughts captive. and really check ourselves, take heed of ourselves. The Bible says a lot to pay attention to our thoughts, because you leave those thoughts unanalyzed, then those thoughts will eat you alive, and that becomes your behavior. Your behavior becomes your identity. Then your identity clashes with the Holy Spirit inside you, and then you start going, you know what? I don't need to pay attention to the Holy Spirit inside. I want to just pay attention to my flesh. And it's like, hey, that's dangerous. But I want to tell brothers and sisters out there, guys, don't, of course, don't. The flesh is gonna flesh. That's one thing. It's I think we all gotta realize, as much as we live in this sin fallen world, we're gonna have this flesh issue, okay? Paul talks about it in Romans. I don't understand what I do, but I do what I do, you know. But it's the flesh that's gonna, you know, when you focus on the flesh, you're gonna do fleshly things. But we have the Holy Spirit in us. We believe in Jesus. Our faith is in Jesus. Holy Spirit, he makes a home in us. All right, so we have the Holy Spirit to pay attention to, go, huh, what is of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Then the focus gets off the flesh. Because I know a lot of brothers and sisters say, oh my gosh, my flesh, I just want to la 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 la. It's like, okay, look, it's going to be there your whole life. You know, those temptations are going to be there. Now the question is, are you going to follow those temptations? That's where the line has to be drawn. But the word says that we crucify our flesh, right? All our passions, lustful desires are crucified with Jesus, right? Jesus' death becomes our death. His resurrection becomes our resurrection. So that's the newness of life we got to be living as a new creation. That's why, you know, when those old desires come up, everyone, but, oh, I died to that. Like, that's my old self. I died to that. That's not even a question. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that. That's basic atomic habits. James Clear too, y'all. You know, you don't say that. Hey, Jobs, you don't say this. Whatever they say. Oh, I'm trying to stop sinning, or you know, I'm slowing down on sinning, guys. I'm slowing down on sinning. No, it's not. You're slowing down on sinning. It's I'm not a sinner anymore. You know, like Jesus gave me a new life to walk. So I don't need to. I may stumble, but guess what? I'm going to get right back up, bro. So I may stumble, but I'm not slowing down. No, sin's dead to me. Like, that's my old life. But that's the difference, y'all, between someone who knows their identity in Christ and someone who doesn't. Because if you don't know your identity in Christ, oh, 100%, the enemy is going to be like, okay, how can we trip up Joby today? Let's bring up some past issues. You know, let's bring up some past hurts. Mm-hmm. And if you're not renewed in the mind, Romans 12, if you're not transformed, ooh, renewed here, oh, my goodness, it's going to be a mental gymnastic. Oh, you're just going to be going in circles. Yeah. And if you're a Christian now and you're having the same issue a year later or 6 months later, there's something wrong, my brothers and sisters. There is something. Nothing's going to change if nothing changes. So you have to make sure you seek out wise counsel. You know, we have some wise counsel here. My sister's here, Joby, and you got Kuya here. A lot of people in the fold, but also reach out to your local churches. Somebody who's an elder, a wise counsel, someone who's walked the path further than you by a little bit. It is so good to have wise counsel, because if you're by yourself, I think, yeah, the book of Proverbs talks about it. A person who isolates themselves, they rage against all wise judgment. And that's scary, because if you just want to be by yourself, oh, I'm just going to be in my room Bible study by myself. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go seek out community. That's a dangerous area, y'all, because you don't have that fellowship with one another. You know, you can't confess to one another your sins, your struggles. But hey, brother, I've had issues with this. What do I do? You're just by yourself. And I'm just going to say, man, if you're by yourself and you're not seeking out any kind of counsel, it's the enemy is just free. You give free range to the enemy to attack you on all fronts. You know, all fronts. You got nobody lifting you up in prayer. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, the Bible says the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So it's It's dangerous. Did you want to say something, Job? Go ahead.
I forgot.
Let's see that. See, that's what I love about, you know, this new life in Christ with all of us, because we all have brothers and sisters who will pray for us, who will stand in the gap, who will, you know, with the DMs, but hey, brother, how can I pray for you? Or let's have a Bible study or Zoom call or whatever it may be, you know, because we need it. I know I need it. Kuya needs it. There's times where I'm just like, dang, today is tough. You know, today is rough, Lord. But brothers and sisters, this is why we need community, is because of issues like this. We can't Christian li the Christian life, guys, is not single player. It's a co-op. It's a co-op multiplayer where we are, you know, running this race all together, all running the race together. And 1 Corinthians 9:26 through 27 is one of my favorite verses, because it talks about, therefore I run, not with one with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. So every step that you do in life as a Christian, there's a purpose. It's either you're going closer to God, you're drawing near to the Lord, or you're not. That's just it. It's like, you're growing or you're not growing, all right? It's a race, but it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, you know. There's gonna be times where we trip and fall. Kuya has tripped and fell many times. The word says that the righteous fall 7 times, right? But they get back up. But the wicked fall by their calamity. So don't. I want to encourage all my brothers and sisters out there. It's okay to fall every now and then. I know, I had a brother. I was talking to a brother, and he was just beating himself, sis. Like, I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I sinned again. I'm stupid. And it was just negativity. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you a child of God? He's like, yeah. Child of God ain't none of those things. You know, child of God, you ain't that. You know, we have to remember that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, don't your soul knows it very well. You know, like, you're loved because God loved us first. We're able to love others, bro. And we're forgiven because of Jesus' obedience. So you have this newness of life. So you don't have to beat yourself, like, all that other. You may feel like a dum-dum at times. I felt like a dum-dum at times too. But God goes, yeah, you may feel that, but that's not the truth. You ain't dumb. You're awesome. You're all beautifully, marvelously, you know, you're created, you're beautiful. I love it. On my mirror in my bathroom, I have that marvelous are your works, that my soul knows it very well, you know. And I think all of us needs to say that sometimes. Need to speak the word into ourselves, into the mirror. I look at myself like, oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, you know, like, you guys have to have that, you know, because of Jesus. We have the boldness and confidence to come to God, to come to the throne of grace because of Jesus. And that all just lies with knowing your identity and who you are in Christ, in the renewing of our mind. So, brothers and sisters, Sister Joby, we talked about Deku from My Hero Academia, Luffy from One Piece, on how dedicated and committed they are in helping others, guiding others in their adventures, in their training. We talked about spiritual growth, making sure you have your prayer life locked down, your Bible study, Bible reading, you connected to a body of Christ, and also, you know, fasting, making sure you guys get that fast schedule down. Do you have to fast all the time? No, but you should probably fast. If you, I'm telling you guys gotta know yourself. If you need to fast, please fast. Like, you gotta know yourself, all right? No one's not gonna tell you, hey, Joby, you need to fast. It's like, no, like, you gotta pray to the Lord, my Lord, I think I played too many video games, or hey, I'll switch it to this, Lord, maybe I watch too much anime. See? So even anime can be bad, guys. But that's anything. That's not. Maybe I eat too much. Hey. Sorry,
Oh
Lauren.
my God.
I ate too many cookies today. I'm going to make cookies tonight, anyways. But chocolate
What
oatmeal.
kind of cookies?
Chocolate oatmeal. Oatmeal
Send
chocolate
them
chip.
over.
Send them over. Send them over. Oh, you're closer. You're in Texas. But sis, I want to thank you so much, Jobs, for stopping by. Many more like this, because we both just like a surface scratch of One Piece and My Hero. So this is fun. This was fun.
This was really fun. I enjoyed it. And thank you so very much for inviting me and allowing me to show, a little bit of knowledge
Yay.
and wisdom.
Amen. Thank you for coming, sis. Oh man, Jovi is such a joy, everybody. Sister Jovi, man. Was it like 2 years ago? I think it was 3 years ago when we ran our first Nerds Night in the Fold. And it wasn't just like a, we're gonna do this at 7:30. No, it was just going to a Bible study and then learning that your brothers and sisters within the same Bible study group like nerdy things. And it was all just because all of us wanted to grow closer to God, yes, and then be connected to a community. I remember so clearly how awkward it felt going, man, joining this online Bible study. I was just like, it didn't fit. It was just like, it was different. It was different, but at the same time, God does a new thing, right? And I knew at the time I needed community. And I was like, I need to be hooked up with a community of Christ, especially during COVID. And sure enough, bro, it wasn't just, of course, it was, thank you, Author Jillian, for, she had the Bible, she hosted the Bible study, but Kristen, Sister Jules, Jobs, Brother Bill, we all had these little nerdy things. I'll always remember Kristen laughing when Jillian was talking about apologetics, and I was like, it's too late to apologia, and dude, we started cracking up, and then we brought up anime and Dragon Ball Z, and then we just started going off like, dude, let's go watch a few episodes. Like, yeah, and it just that's how it became to be. Like, you never know, guys, when you take that first step of faith in a community, with, of course, Holy Spirit leading, right? You don't know what's gonna come out of it. And now we have all these great friendships. The Fold wasn't even called the Fold back then, but now it's called the Fold. And we have this awesome Discord community. We have I'm sorry, Christian community on Discord. We have so many things. Ate is working with the Chosen, Kuya, and all the other Dappies are helping out in the Fold and serving online that way. Some of us are meeting in person, which is dope. We have gaming session, nerd sessions. So love you guys so much. Thank you guys for coming out back to what is it, episode 4? I think it's episode 14. I can't remember. But man, I'm just so thankful that we're back on track again. I know Kuya's a little sick. Pray for Kuya for healing. I'm a lot better. Nady boy's feeling a lot better too. But being diligent, y'all, growing spiritually, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's in the book of Mark. Please, please, please be diligent, be intentional, Even when you're listening to this, let us know, man. Share this podcast with others. Take notes, reflect on the notes, and then share this with others. Remember, it's not just for you growing, it's for all of us growing, right? That's his purpose. That's God's purpose, man. We're supposed to know God and then make him known to others. So, love you guys so much. I'm so glad to be back. We're gonna have more full talks. I know Sister Kristen wanna talk about some either anime or Star Wars. That's probably a difficult decision for her. She probably want to talk about Star Wars, but I know she want to talk about anime too, because I think she's gonna go over the Naruto part. I went through the MHA part, and then Joby went through the One Piece part. My gosh, guys, God is so good, and I just pray that everyone here, is keeping our brothers and sisters in Israel over there in prayer. It's difficult overseas, man. Guys, it's we're just keep them in prayer, please, because it's a tough thing to see people getting anybody getting murdered, don't matter who you are, bruh, murdered and just abused for your beliefs, and you know, it doesn't matter what the history. I mean, yes, there's big historical ties there, biblically, 100%. But we pray for just for peace and guidance and wisdom with the leaders there, man. It's crazy, y'all. But love you guys. Stay steadfast, and remember, man, reach out. You are all part of the fold, God's fold, where we are, you know, finding the shepherd and following the herd. Wow, I did that backwards. See, look, it's been so long. Following the shepherd, finding the herd. Love you guys, man. God bless.
Join our community Discord and don't miss out on any Fold announcements. We have morning Jesus time, men and women's Bible study, young adult study hall, music recommendation channels, gamer and nerd channels, and much more. You can find the link in this episode's description or on our website, www.thefoldchurch.net. We were created for God's community. Come and join the Fold. In need of Christian resources, Bibles, or Christian apparel? Christian Book has been providing the world with Christian resources for over 40 years. Click the link in the episode comments for the latest and greatest deals in Bibles, study materials, or anything else that represents the kingdom of God. Speaking of special, give your child a special gift with the Jesus Talking Doll. This velvet soft plush doll teaches your child 11 sayings of our Lord Jesus Christ. Press his squeezable hand and you will hear Matthew 9:9 or John 20:19. Go to www.jesusdoll.com using code FOLDTALK when you check out for a 10% discount.